You actually have to put pressure on your life in the areas that you want to grow in. And knowing God is not an easy thing. God is a all-encompassing person.
Yeah.
And it says there's no facets of turning with him, so there is no backside to God. There's
right.
all privilege and understanding. But we have to pursue that to
right.
be able to be. And I think the church has become lazy in knowing God.
Yeah, they do.
We expect that some pastor will come deliver to us
right.
what we're going to know about
or
God.
Blog,
and that
book.
Knowing enough
yeah.
about God is going to be enough for our lives. And
right.
I'm telling you right now, listen, I've listened to as many sermons as any person in
yeah.
life, mostly
yeah.
from one pastor who's, thank God, pretty
extraordinarily
good.
Extraordinarily gifted.
Pretty
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
But it's not enough for me. I could listen to Louis preach all day long, every day, and it would not be enough for him to discover how to know God and for him to transfer that to me. I have to know God myself.
That's right.
So I have to pick up scripture. I have to dig my life
That's
into
right.
it. I have to figure out what he's saying to me.
That's
and
right.
Christians are lazy.
Yeah.
They want somebody to deliver and hand feed them
yeah.
what they should be digging in to figure out for themselves.
Yeah.
And do I think pastors bring things to life? Yes. Do I pray that they preach the word of God in truth? Yes. Do I think that's enough for you today? Absolutely
no.
not.
No.
And if you can't discover it for yourself, then there's something wrong spiritually with your life.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hey, this is Missy Harper. You're listening to Life with Lisa Harper. On the podcast today, my Aunt Shelley.
Hey, y'all, I'm Lisa Harper, and you're listening to the Life with Lisa Harper podcast. We're calling season one Out of the Ashes because during each episode, we're walking through stories of redemption, essentially stories of people who have walked through tough stuff and found that God is perfectly good even when life is really, really hard.
Okay, y'all, we are here on Out of the Ashes with one of my favorite people in the whole world.
The whole world?
The whole world.
Oh, my goodness.
What's so cool is Shelley Giglio is one of my dearest friends, but she's also one of my heroes of the faith.
Oh,
so I feel like
kind.
I get like a two for one. This is like tableside guacamole and queso.
I
all
mean,
the
mix is not the mix with us.
The mix is amazing.
It is.
Like, you just made me think of the Chicago mix. You know, the cheddar cheese
oh,
and
yeah.
caramel popcorn.
I'm telling you, there is something so strong about that sweet and savory.
Yes.
Mm.
Ooh,
yes.
That kind of describes you. Okay. Sweet and savory, Shelley. We are going to start with some either ors. Are you ready?
Because
we're diving
deep. I don't even know if I can
start
do this.
With either ors. Yes, you can do it.
Okay.
You can do it.
Okay.
Okay. Burger, burrito.
Burrito.
Beach, mountains.
Beach.
Auburn, Alabama.
I have to go Auburn. I am married to Auburn.
James Taylor, Led Zeppelin.
James Taylor.
Rom-com, thriller.
Ooh, rom-com.
Heels, flats.
I would say flats.
King James, The Message.
I'm going to go The Message, just make everybody wonder.
Kickboxing, Pilates.
Oh, I'm going to go with neither.
I got to get into that.
Okay,
I'm
bye.
So sorry.
That was a good one. Beard, no beard. I'm going to go no beard, but
I could go either way.
It's such a thing. And I feel like guys under like 35, the more unkempt your beard, like the better.
Oh, yeah. No, you don't actually look at it or like tame it anyway.
And I feel so sorry for guys who are like really, really manly, but sparse.
Yeah.
So you can tell they're kind of ashamed.
It's kind of a hard
thing.
Yeah,
it's hard. That's sad to me. Whereas, you know, we never brag. Like if you have to shave your legs a lot or not, that's like there's no street cred
Listen,
for women.
If I had no hair on my legs, I would definitely prefer it.
Listen, if I had no hair on my
face, I would be thrilled and bragging.
Okay, introvert, extrovert?
I would say extrovert.
Okay, team sport, individual sport?
But definitely a team sport.
Cat, dog?
Dog. There's one at my feet.
Speedo board shorts.
Oh, gosh. You just lost me on that one completely.
Okay, that's a whole other podcast. That's not a Christian podcast.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay, all right.
Sorry, that one snuck in there. Okay, I want to tell, for anybody who's been living under a rock, I want to tell you just a little bit about my friend and hero, Shelley Giglio. She not only created and runs one of the most successful Christian record labels in the world, she was literally a pioneer in helping to birth and shape what we call the worship music genre today. So really the genre of music that has changed lives around the world. Shelley was one of kind of the main pioneers of that, main architects of that. She and her husband, who's a decent little pastor himself, Louis.
He's all right.
He's okay. She and Louis Giglio founded a vibrant, global, ongoing collegiate ministry. It's I hate to even call it a collegiate ministry because everyone and their mama sneaks in.
Yeah.
So it's like mainly
special
for
thing.
What's the age range that y'all specify?
It's 18 to 25.
Okay, 25.
Yeah, and in the time we started that, you know, that's been 20 years. There really wasn't anything for 18 to 25-year-olds. It was like you had youth group up until the time that you were around 18.
Right.
And then there was just a kind of a big gap. And if you were a part of a crusade movement or something on your campus, you might have had something like that.
Yeah.
But there was just a lot of space to create that moment.
Well, let's take a redemptive rabbit trail for a second,
yeah.
Because we were talking about this last night. Tell me about kind of the segue from Breakaway. You and Louis went right into vocational ministry, really while you were still in college, right?
Yeah, so Breakaway actually is at Texas A&M, and it started after the ministry that we started. We started a ministry at Baylor called Choice.
That's right. I
Choice
get
Ministries.
And Choice mixed
yeah, because they're a lot the same.
Similar.
Yeah, they're very similar. Yeah. Actually, the guy that helped lead Breakaway is a guy named Greg Mott. He's the guy who started it, who's now the pastor at First Baptist Houston, or Houston's First Baptist, I believe, as they would say. But he's such a great guy, and he was around some of those early days of Choice, and God really inspired him, and he was able to plant that ministry.
Friends.
Yeah, we were friends. I wouldn't call us contemporaries because he's quite a bit younger than us. But yeah, and watching that then, you know, take hold at that school, and it's still going today so vibrantly. It's
and
been amazing.
And that's, I think, what it was. I get confused, is that in some ways, Breakaway was...
Yeah, and then Ben Stewart. Pregnancy. You know, Ben came after Greg, and then Ben is now a part of our team. Yeah, he's a pastor.
At Passion City, D.C.
Yeah.
We'll talk about from choice to passion.
Yeah.
Like, how did that seed
germinate?
You know,
honestly, one of the hardest seasons of our life to date, and... Part of it was that we had really been asking God. Louis' dad had been very, very sick with a brain virus, and he was disabled for 7 years and lived where somebody had constant care over his life.
Goodness.
His mom dressed him, fed him, moved him everywhere he moved to. I mean, it was, you can imagine how intense it was. And so we had been living in Texas, obviously doing Choice, and had been praying that God would give us a chance to come and help his mom take care of his dad. And we would come as often as we could, but you know, you live somewhere different, and it was just so challenging, such hard days. And right about the time that we felt like we heard God say, okay, you're released and you can go to Atlanta, is around almost exactly the same time Louis' dad died. And interestingly enough, he didn't die from the brain virus. He died of a heart attack. So one day he was sitting at his computer just fiddling around, and the next thing we knew, he was gone. And it was one of the most confusing times because we felt like God had definitely released us to come, but we couldn't understand why he would have died before we got here. And we were very confused, disappointed, without understanding.
Yeah.
But we went ahead and moved. We came to Atlanta. It turns out, obviously, we had a huge ministry to his mom, who had just lost her husband, who she had cared for 7 years. Louis' sister at the time had gone through a terrible breakup in her marriage. She had three small children who we got to invest in and love and be near. And so there were a lot of reasons God was moving us.
Right.
But in that season, God gave us the vision for Passion. And I really believe, more than anything, that in those dark windows sometimes is when true light can shine in to our lives.
That's right.
And I think if we had just continued on the path of choice and been doing it all the same as we had been doing it, that we might not have even heard God when he said, I have a bigger mission for you and I have something I want you to do with your life.
Yeah.
I think it's possible I could have been too busy for that. Honestly, and how sad to think that, but it's possible.
Oh my goodness, you're so schooling me here. We don't have time to tell you everything in the podcast, but basically Shelley has been speaking some, per usual, incredible wisdom in my life about how the good is often the enemy of the best. But I think also I'm reminded of, you know, how Henry Cloud talks about necessary endings. And when Abraham had to leave Ur for what is arguably the greatest promise ever given from God in Scripture, I'm going to give you, you know, more descendants than you can count. You're going to be blessed. And those who don't bless you, I'm going to curse. But before you get this comprehensive 360-degree blessing, you have to leave the place where you've grown really comfortable. And I'm not going to tell you where you're going.
Yeah,
you just have to walk blindly into a new place.
Right.
And so I do think sometimes, as cheesy as it sounds, it's darkest before the dawn.
Yeah.
But we have to choose to walk into what is dark before we do see the brightest light. Okay, you went there. Before I go into this next question, because I want to stay there for a minute, but I want to talk about how Passion led to Passion City Church.
Yeah.
And now we've got Passion City, D.C., because you didn't, when y'all were 20, envision yourselves as pastors yet.
No, you know, honestly, I heard Louis tell the story the other day, and it reminded me of a season of our life when Louis was very young, and he was traveling to people's events and teaching and whatever, and he was sitting at a table one day with a couple of guys at a lunch after he had spoken at something. And one of the guys said to Louis, hey, what do you think you're going to do in 20 years? And I guess he's probably 28 or 30 at the time.
Right.
And before he could answer, because he was a little bit like, I'm not sure. And I think the guy said, do you think you'll ever be a pastor? And Louis paused to kind of think, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
And as he paused, another guy across the table answered for him. And the other guy that answered for him said, well, I'll tell you one thing for sure. He will definitely not be a church pastor. And he said, the reason I know that is because he preaches with such fervor and such intensity, and he doesn't really care what the people think. And so he's never, ever going to pastor people. And Louis goes on to tell the story, you know, honestly, while that guy, he didn't even really know that guy, and neither of us can remember who the person was, so it's nothing like we feel all this all these years later or anything toward him. It was just more of, sometimes we let people speak things over our lives that are not from God.
That's right.
And I think it took Louis several years to unwind all of that and to understand.
In a way, it was prophetic, because in that time period, you didn't have too many successful churches where, at least from my vantage point, from the cheap seats, where you had a guy who was fiery and who didn't care about
nickels and
noses. Yeah,
that's probably true.
And so you look at the paradigm that you have at Passion City, and it is not the paradigm of what most people would call
well, you know, and that day and time, there was the education pastor,
that's right.
There was the youth pastor,
that's right.
There was the pastor,
right.
Which, Lord knows, God bless him,
right.
And there was the music minister,
right.
I think is what we called him.
That's
we couldn't
right.
call him a pastor
that's
for
right.
some reason. I mean, there were very specific
right.
roles, and there were very few
and
of them.
And the youth pastor could afford to be fiery, but usually the head pastor had to be a little more politically savvy.
Yeah, probably
but
so.
Louis, to me, when I hear him preach, and he slays me every time, Louis preaches like a very mature, wise youth pastor. Because he does not care about stepping on toes, not for the sake of in any way being provocative, but for the sake of, if this is what God has told me to preach and it brings conviction, well, that's God's business. I'm going to follow God's direction. I love his kind of unfettered style.
Yeah, I do too. And I've also, though, had the privilege of watching pastor people for years years. And, you know, just to think that at the time he believed maybe he wasn't qualified for that.
Mm.
And then having watched him live life among people and help them process life through the lens of God has been one of the most beautiful gifts in the world to me. And I just want to say to you, if someone is speaking over your life something, you need to take that back to Scripture and to people who know you well. And you need to process that in the midst of truth so that you can figure out, is that from God or was that some guy at a table? So that you can then discern, you know, what the will of God is for you and how you should obey. And it just, it took us a while to kind of get over that. So we actually planted Passion City Church when Louis was 50 years old. And he's 60 now, so we're 10 years old. And things are, things are really, I think, flourishing here. And it's totally beautiful to watch the faithfulness of God. Yeah. And that's what I would say mostly that we've seen in the church.
You know, people, because I have the undeserved privilege of living life closer to you than some.
Yeah.
I think it's easy for people who don't walk closely with you and maybe have a true friendship with you where they hear you all the time, might look at your life and Louis' life and go, oh, they're kind of the spiritual Midas couple. You know, everything they touch turns to gold. And they've got you know, you've got a bazillion worship songs that you helped birth and create that really have changed the landscape of not just church, but people who don't know Jesus and they're wooed toward the gospel because of music that has come through your wheelhouse. Y'all have had this Passion ministry. How many kids have come to Passion?
Oh, it's a million and a half or something, a lot.
And then most people don't think of 18 to 25 as being a financially generous group simply because they don't have as much discretionary income. And the things that have come out of Passion, the kids that have been sponsored, the wells that have been dug, the women and men who've been who've come out of trafficking.
It's one of the most beautiful things.
Extraordinary. Yes. Like, how much money did Passion give last year to causes that are God-honoring causes?
Oh, thousands of dollars are given away every year.
Yeah, and I want to say when I heard the number, it was like hundreds of thousands of dollars.
But it's what's beautiful about it is that, you know, people don't think college students have any money, and obviously they dig around on their sofa for coins so that they can buy things, which is true. College students in general do not have a lot of income, but, man, they are resourceful people, and the things that they believe in, they will fund. And it's so beautiful to watch God use their life. Because if you can see that at 20, that God can use you without really having much, then you will be 40 and giving everything you've got. I just think not just of the moment of them leaning into being generous at Passion, I think about the way it's setting them up for their life. And you and I both know, because we've lived a long time, that generosity is one of the biggest gifts to your life that you will ever, ever receive.
Absolutely.
It's giving stuff away that brings life. And so just to see them engage in that at an early age makes me so happy.
Oh, that I told somebody recently, because I told them I got to be an interloper simply because Shelley allowed me to come into Passion.
An interloper.
I tried to veil myself so nobody would see the wrinkles. But what it did for me, I expected it to be a lot more hype just because of that age group. Because when I was 20, I did a whole lot of jumping and dancing and screaming, but didn't necessarily have a lot of spiritual depth. I was undone by how deep y'all went, and really the sense of course there was joy and a lot of energy, but there's kind of this calm, resolute, we are all in for the sake of Christ. And I thought, we are going to be fine as a culture. You've got this type of spiritual leadership at 20 that's beginning to change shift the atmosphere. And really not just America, because these kids are going all over the world.
Yeah,
but I thought, my goodness, what God has done through this seed of a dream he gave the two of you is just, y'all could not manufacture that. I mean, that is just, there's God all
I tell
over
people
that.
All the time, you know, they say, explain Passion to me and describe it. And it really, I mean, it's crazy and funny to say, but it is indescribable.
It is
one of those moments that if you're not standing there, you cannot believe it's real.
Right.
But when you are standing there, it gives you so much hope. And, you know, the world is going to be challenged.
Yeah.
We read Scripture and know that things don't get better, they get worse.
That's right.
But to know that we will have people that will stand with Jesus in those days is beautiful. And I believe some of these students will be the ones standing because of what God is doing to revolutionize their lives in these days. It's so beautiful to watch.
Oh, it's
so it's one of I get to do Passion is what I say. It's one of God's greatest gifts to us that 22 years later that we would still be investing in college students
I firmly believe you cannot manufacture or generate a movement. movements are God-generated.
Yeah.
People can't do that. You can have all the marketing meetings in the world, but only the hand of God can actually generate a true movement like the Great Awakening, something that really impacts culture. And so he's done that. Y'all have gotten to see that and
yeah,
be
so beautiful.
In the front seats.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
You've gotten to do a record label that really did change the landscape of music. Especially to believers. You have this church that is going gangbusters in Atlanta. Now you had your first baby in D.C.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Ben,
we've been
Donna
there this
Stewart.
Weekend. It's incredible.
Incredible.
It's incredible.
Incredible church. So, again, back to where I was going, which, you know, concise is not my gift. So we'll spiderweb it all over the place.
But I like
but
us.
Where I was going is somebody who doesn't know or maybe has never even heard y'all talk and doesn't know the authenticity of your testimony might go, oh, well, goodness, well, look at them. I mean, she's brilliant and blonde and beautiful, and he's this amazingly, you know, anointed pastor, and so they're just the spiritual Midas couple. But mm-hmm. I know that y'all are kind of like a great big tree, and the reason it's producing so much fruit is the roots go really deep, and you've weathered a lot of storms.
Yeah.
And so talk for a minute about how really the storms. You touched on it with Louie's mom and then Louie's dad dying, y'all helping her mom. But talk about when you look back at how the storms and maybe even the droughts have impacted y'all. I think that's why your roots are so deep.
You know, early on, I mentioned Louie's dad, but Louie and I had been married 2 years when his father got sick.
Mm.
And y'all married right out of college. Yeah,
right?
I was 22 when we married. I just turned 22. We met when I was 18, so I really didn't know life apart from Louie, honestly.
I'm spiderwebbing again, but didn't you, like, the first time he walked into a meeting, you were like, I am going
to
marry
him. Was hot. I was like, what?
But you also played it kind of,
oh,
like,
I'm
he
cool.
had to work
Trust
a little
me.
Bit.
You, oh, yeah, yeah, no, I'm not going to give everything away right up front. I definitely was interested from the moment I saw him, for sure. And there was a swagger about Louie. I mean, anybody who's been around Louie kind of, oh, yeah, he had really dark, almost black hair.
Yeah.
And it was super curly and all a little bit on the fro side.
Yeah.
And, boy, I thought that was just the cutest thing ever.
Oh, yeah.
So I'd never seen anybody walk like him, carry themselves like him. I'd never seen anybody teach the word like him.
Mm.
I literally was like, I don't even understand where this person came from.
Yeah.
And Louie had grown up in Atlanta, came to Texas to go to seminary. A friend talked him into being a college intern at our church,
Wow. Basically
coerced him. This is a job that you should have. And so he ended up taking this job, not really understanding the reasons why.
Yeah.
Not only would being a college pastor for the summer set the template for the rest of our life. I just mentioned passion. We are 22 years in. We did college ministry on a campus for 10 years. That summer set the template for what we would invest our life in.
Mm.
And Louie met me. So, hey, it was a good summer.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, 2 years into marriage, I was sort of living the dream. We didn't really know exactly what we were doing in life. We were still living in Waco and ministering to students, and they camped at our house and lived with us pretty much. And we were just trying to love on college students. When Louie's dad got sick, we got a call. We were on a vacation, ski vacation with my family.
Yeah.
Got a call that his dad was in intensive care, potentially going to die. It was
young. His dad was pretty young.
57 years old.
Yeah, goodness.
And, you know, life came crashing into us at that point. And I had a choice to make. I could be a 24-year-old clueless girl who really didn't know hardship.
Yeah.
Or I could embrace the suffering and hardship and let that make me into the person that God intended me to be.
Yeah.
And I chose that by the grace of God to let him help form me. And I believe that those days changed my forever. I just think today of every conversation that I sit in with somebody who is in a really dark and deep place, mm-hmm. and I think about the compassion and understanding that's in my heart, mm-hmm. not because of the great times we've had, mm-hmm. but because of the hard times we've had,
yeah.
and how that makes me compassionate and right. understanding and caring and want to engage with people and find God in the midst of that right. hardship.
Right.
And so, yeah, no, our life hasn't been, I don't talk about it all the time because I choose mm-hmm. to talk about the things that I think God would love for us to champion.
Sure.
And I don't always talk about every hardship, but yeah, certainly in anyone's life, there have been so many challenges. The thing isn't that you have the challenge. The thing is what you do with that challenge
right, right.
and how you let it affect your right. life and deepen your roots.
And the perspective, I love that you're talking about the perspective of the suffering because, you know, we've talked about this a lot. I spent a year studying Job and didn't want to study Job. I thought that's going to be like sticking yeah. my hand in a blender.
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather go to a happier book in Scripture. But I felt real led to, this is a place I'm avoiding mm-hmm. because I often want to avoid the own painful
sure,
seasons
we all
of my
do.
Life. And I was undone by not only the joy in Job, mm-hmm. obviously we know about God's faithfulness, but it totally changed my perspective on pain because it is not punitive. And I think even a lot of Christians think, oh, I must be being punished for some sin I
right.
confessed, or God's just so busy with, you know, human trafficking, he doesn't see what's going on in my life. And we do not see that actually the template of Job is the pain Job went through was a promotion.
Amazing.
God held Job up in his hand yeah. and said to the enemy, have you seen my servant Job? Basically, I nominate him for the house of pain. And it's because God in his sovereignty is not capricious, but he knew Job is going to walk this out in a way that will bring me glory.
Yep.
And so I think you and I are about the same age. You've been in vocational ministry 32 years.
Yeah.
And about the same for me, started in youth ministry, not as faithful as y'all. So it
Come
took me,
on.
I had to wander through the wilderness
man.
A little longer. But I look back over my life now and I see the seasons that I thought this will either break me
yeah.
or I just won't ever be able to sing or dance after yeah. this again. I see those as being pinnacles where God said, I'm going to prune you. You're going to bear more fruit than you've ever dreamt possible.
Yeah, I believe that.
But right now, while you're being pruned, it's just going to hurt.
Yeah.
And you just have to trust that I'm good and I do good. And right now, you can't see around the corner. When you look back over those things, I'm not remotely saying that Louis' dad's illness and death were divinely causative. I think God uses, obviously, what the enemy
yes,
means for harm.
I believe that.
And he redeems it into good. But as you look back over just y'all's own dark nights of the soul,
yeah.
and you've been through a lot, even in a church, because it's filled with people, and we people tend to be sinners.
Yeah.
And so church can be really hard. As you look back over 32 years, do you now see those seasons that you thought, I don't know if we're going to make it out of this as, well, I actually saw the face of God so much clearer. I think it makes the veil thinner, don't you?
Yeah, I think about the time as we were planning the church about 10 years ago that Louis fell, and he speaks of it, mm-hmm. Into a deep anxiety hole. And the depression mm-hmm. was completely overwhelming. I never thought Louis would be the same person again. Mm-hmm. I never thought Louis would stand on a stage and speak again. I believed our life as we knew it was done. And we were on the very front edge of saying we are going to pastor a church, which was such a breakthrough in my mind of obedience.
Yeah,
I was the holdup. You know, Louis started talking at 45, 6, 7. I really yeah. believe that God has this for my life. And I was just like, absolutely not.
Yeah,
I don't want to be rebellious to God, but I can't see it. We can't hold one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that God, with all the things that we do have, will give us one more
right.
thing to hold.
A
church of all things.
Thing. Yeah.
A church.
Yeah.
Like, I've lived my whole life now without a church.
And
I'm flourishing. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not being ugly. I'm just being
yeah.
honest.
Yeah.
But I was not looking forward to that. And I drug my feet and I asked God really honestly if there was another way. Is there another way for me to obey you without saying yes to this?
Mm.
Because that's what I would like to do. And finally, I said, okay, I do believe this is God's purpose for us. And that was a very beautiful moment of my surrender. I sobbed.
Mm-hmm.
I happened to be, which you and I have in common, at the Hillsong Conference.
Mm-hmm.
a very famous preacher was preaching. He said at some point to the women in the room, if you're the pastor's wife, you step up and I'm going to pray for you. I was on the front row. These were the days that you didn't get to sit up in the good seats.
Right.
You sat on the front row for a week at a time in session after session after after session.
I know. I've bitten my lip a few times to keep from falling asleep. Just
I am like, what is absolutely happening right now? I'm jet lagged. I don't know what's happening. And this well-known preacher said, you need to take a step toward the stage. I want to pray for you. And sobbing, I stepped from the front row to the front of the stage. Because I knew God was asking me to obey.
Yeah.
And so, very profound moment. So, right after these moments of obedience is the dark hole of depression that I thought was going to take us out.
Right.
Done.
Right.
And I'm like, God, what of all timing? What is happening? But you know, God did bring us through. And so, let me be clear. He brought us through. I love in scripture where he says he doesn't take us to the valley of death. Mm-hmm. He takes us through. And God brought us through our deepest, darkest valley. And not only did he restore Louis, which is a miracle that he could put his mind, heart, and soul back together, but he also reestablished him in a way that he could use him.
Right.
And when I stand in the back of rooms and watch Louis preach the gospel with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. Mm-hmm. And I know that he wants to honor God with his life. No one knows more what God has done to put him there than me. No one understands the depth of despair and the darkness of the soul that we felt. And then to see God redeem even that. So I don't know who I'm speaking to today for sure. I don't know who's listening, but please believe that God can take you through this and that he not only is going to reestablish you personally, that you are going to begin to thrive personally, but that your input into earth and the way that you're going to be able to share with people how God has been faithful to you is going to forever change. And it's not because you had great times. Those are amazing. Yeah. But it's because you had this darkness. And God uses those for his purposes, and I believe it today.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us on the Life with Lisa Harper podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, and I sure hope you did, I would really appreciate it if you subscribed and gave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. The introduction music was provided by my almost little brother, Tim Halperin, who also co-produces this podcast with me. Life with Lisa Harper will be releasing episodes on the second and fourth Thursdays of every month. We sure hope you'll keep listening.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.